If you had to choose between being happy or being resilient, what would you pick? This is a question worth thinking about, and in today's episode, we'll explore why knowing the difference between the two could seriously change your life for the better. I'm Lee Gurman, and this is Leadership Parenting, episode number 2, Happy or Resilient. Did you know that resilience is the key to confidence and joy? As moms, it's what we want for our kids, but it's also what we need for ourselves. My name is Lee Gurman. I'm a therapist and I'm a mom. Join me as we explore the skills you need to know to be confident and joyful. Then get ready to teach these skills to your kids. This is Leadership Parenting, where you learn how to lead your family by showing them the way. Hello and welcome. I've been doing a lot of thinking about our topic today, about happiness. Some might say that I'm in the business of happiness because that's why people come to see me, namely because they are not happy. Unfortunately, I don't have the power to convert happiness on a dime to take unhappiness and make it someone happy. But I have learned how to walk with people through their unhappiness to get to the other side. However, I've learned, and so have they, that it's not always happiness waiting for them on the other side, because happiness isn't a destination that you arrive at and then get to stay. Happiness can really be quite elusive, and that's because it's an emotion, and emotions don't stay in one place. They're always moving, shifting, building, changing, and it's a good thing that our emotions are always moving and shifting and building and changing, because when we have emotions that are hard, that's actually one of the biggest secrets and helps to us in knowing how to handle hard emotions is the fact that they do shift. They do change. If you think about the last time you felt any strong emotion, let's say the last time you were angry, hopefully you'll notice that that had an end point, and that now in this moment you have a different emotion, and maybe you're still angry. Maybe you have an angry feeling, but my bet is that there was some time in between your angry feelings in which this emotion rose and it settled back down. So I think that it's a pretty good idea when the feeling we have is painful that it doesn't stay, but give me a taste of something sweet like happiness, and man, do I want that all the time. We just wouldn't be human if we weren't seeking that kind of happiness and also seeking the things that we want to avoid so that we can avoid unhappiness. Like, that is kind of the whole purpose of how our brain works. Our brain is really set up to move toward the things that we like and that really are safe and take care of us, and to move away from the things that might be seen as a threat or something that makes us uncomfortable. Our culture really values happiness big time. In fact, we're pretty much obsessed with it. I think we define happiness in many ways. In general, happiness is linked to the absence of other emotions like fear or sadness. And we link happiness to things like winning. We link it to having our expectations met, to getting what we want. Are you starting to see some storm clouds brewing on the horizon with these kinds of definitions? If happiness is linked to getting what we want and not feeling sad or afraid or angry, any of those harder emotions, then we have a really high bar to meet. And this has actually caused us a lot of problems, because the reality of being human is that life brings us things that we don't order. And very few of us order things like, I want to be mad today, or I hope I get really sad. Life brings us situations and we get to feel all sorts of emotions. I think of my two little grandsons who were both here at a big family gathering we had this month. They're both 6 years old and they were here with me last week, and it was so awesome to get time with them and to see them together. And when they come, I have kind of set this tradition that I always have a little surprise for them. We call it a Mimi surprise. And I had a toy for each of them. Of course, I've learned to get them identical toys because they're 6 years old. And inevitably, if I get one a blue one and one a green one or one something different, there's sometimes some decisions about not wanting the one they have. And so I'm very careful about the toys that I buy. And you'll notice as I'm telling the story that I have this happiness goal in mind for them, right? Like I even am very careful to get them the same kind of toy so there's no unhappiness. Well, I thought I did a good job. This toy brought really big smiles. And then within 5 minutes, really big tears. Not only did the toy I gave each of them break, both of their toys broke within the same amount of time, but the whole feeling of the surprise just was ruined. It was a total dud present, and happiness turned to sadness pretty quickly. So this is pretty normal for our kids, right? They're still figuring out how to work with disappointment and not getting what they want. But I'll tell you, it was also really hard for me. I was expecting to make them happy. In fact, that's why I had wandered Target for an hour trying to find little things I thought would delight them, bring them happiness, and also bring me happiness because I thought they'd be so pleased, so happy with me because of the gift I'd given them. We do a lot to bring happiness to our kids and to others and to ourselves, and that's all good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It's just really unpredictable. And when it works like we want it to, it's awesome. And when it doesn't, it can be really hard. I found myself looking at their disappointed faces and wanting to run right out and buy them something else, something better, something that would bring the smiles back to their faces and make them happy and make me happy. I think it's so good. It was close to dinner time and I had this big army of family to feed and there was no time to run to Target because it was a learning moment. It was a moment for resilience. Resilience is the ability to stretch and adjust and adapt to the things that don't work like we want them to the challenges that happen externally in our lives, like the things that are happening in our circumstances. But it's also the ability to adapt to the challenges that we experience inside of us, inside our expectations and our thinking, and even in just dealing with all those feelings that come up. So I took this really deep breath and I practiced some of my own resilience training on myself and then on the kids. I validated, I listened, I empathized, I honored the fact that they were sad and even that they were a little mad. And I kept myself from digging in my closet for a leftover present, maybe from Christmas or something that I had kind of stuck away because I just wanted to, I had that urge to try to manufacture a little happiness for them. But I resisted that because not only do I want to make them happy, but I also want to help them build the skills that they're going to need in their lives to help them through their challenges. And so I guess I really wanted to give them the ability to find a sense of peace amidst this great disappointment. So I tried to help them see the big picture. Their parents chimed in and reminded them of how much they had and how lucky they were that they'd even got a present from Mimi. And I wish I could say that it all worked out and they happily skipped away. No, they stayed sad for a few minutes. And honestly, so did I. Sometimes it feels like something's really wrong. You know, a broken toy is a small event, a small happening. But sometimes we're feeling things that are really on a much grander scale. Most of the women that I work with have a lot of big things happening in their life, as I'm sure you do too. The expectations we hold about how life is supposed to be and how we're supposed to feel actually have a huge impact on how happy we actually feel. And, you know, some people call this the happiness myth, where we really can get set up to feel like we're doing it wrong if we have bad days or hard times or painful feelings, because, you know, we all do have those hard days. But what if I told you that happiness isn't about feeling good all the time? I think that's what these, you know, my kids were trying to tell their kids when they were so sad about this broken toy. What they were trying to say was, look, we're all together. Look, you have people who love you. You have a whole playroom full of toys. They were trying to help them understand that they could still be happy even in the moment where they were feeling disappointed or they weren't feeling very good. Life is a roller coaster. We're on it. We know it. We go up, we go down, sometimes on an hour-by-hour basis. We experience real challenges that often conflict with our expectations, and that conflict can cause us pain and grief, not only from the actual events in our life, but from those dashed expectations. I learned this really great lesson from a very wise woman at a time in my life when I was feeling pretty low. I'd had several months. It just seemed like forever with a really painful health condition that just wasn't getting better. I'd been to my doctor. I'd been to several doctors. And one finally suggested that I go see an acupuncturist. So I did. The moment I met Anne, I literally started a new kind of a healing journey. It wasn't just my physical condition that she impacted in my life, but really so much of my mental and emotional experience around the pain I was going through. Anne was a child in Vietnam during the war in the 70s. And as her country, as Vietnam was literally falling into communism, it was taking over the entire country. Her family fled by escaping on a raft in the ocean. It was an open-air raft. She was one of many children in her family. She was, I think, one of the youngest children in her family. I think she was about 5 when she took this journey with her family, and they were on the raft with several other families. So you can imagine this raft held like 20 people. They were in, it wasn't a houseboat. It was an open air raft, and they set off into the ocean, fleeing for their lives, fleeing for their freedom, hoping to get to a country that would accept them as a refugee. It's an amazing story, and I hope that one day she writes it down. I think that is her plan, and I think that the world needs to hear this story. But she got lost at sea. Their family got lost at sea. They traveled without a navigator. They lost their navigator. And that was a story in and of itself. They experienced hunger and dehydration. And eventually, by miracles, they got to a place where it was in a country that they could become safe. They could be considered a refugee. And there's a whole journey after that. But that harrowing story she was telling me as she was treating me for this very painful condition, me in my safe life, in living in a country where I have freedom and where I have enough food to eat. And she had this miraculous way of telling the story that didn't make me feel guilty at all. She just explained that this had given her a foundation in her life that helped her flow with her ups and downs. I would even say it helped her set her happiness expectation. Well, I was very, very discouraged when I went to see her. I'd felt kind of beaten down by this painful condition, and I think I even cried a few tears in her office. But as she told me her life story, it really explained that life isn't linear. It's fluid, much like an infinity symbol. And she moved her arm in the air as I sat there in her office room to make the sign of that infinity symbol, where it rolled up and then it went down and then it went up and then it went down, never interrupted, always connected, flowing back and forth, up and down. She explained that we all experience joy and suffering, health and sickness, celebration and sadness, success and failure. As she moved her hand through the motion of the infinity symbol up and down, without the hard, there is no ease. Without the bitter, there is no sweet. The circle rises and falls and around that carries us through the growth stages and cycles of our life. And then she told me about her own health challenges, a congenital health condition that she'd had her entire life that was far more severe than mine, and that how she handled it was through this flow, through holding this image in her mind. opening to the idea that she didn't have to be challenge-free to feel joy and appreciation for her body and her life. Well, as she told me this story, she asked me about my life, my condition. She was gently encouraging me to keep hoping for healing and accepting the times that my body was having a hard time. And she talked with me a lot about how fortunate I was to have a beautiful family and a safe home to live in and a faith in God that could carry me, could literally carry me through my challenges. Over the weeks that I saw her, she really helped me shift my expectations and helped me see that I was experiencing my current situation at the base of the infinity symbol, meaning I was at the kind of bottom curve, feeling the hard things in my life, and that I would soon be making the climb back up where I was going to be appreciating my healing and feeling that feeling of being on the rise, especially since I had just been at the low. I couldn't appreciate the joys of my life without the pain, she said. We will hold you through the pain, and then you will rise with greater joy. Well, I feel very fortunate that I was able to work with Anne. I literally drove 45 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week to see her because the truth she taught, I mean, certainly she is a very gifted acupuncturist, and I do believe in working with the body, and the acupuncture that she did really did clear my condition. Over time, I completely healed from my condition. But I don't think it was just the acupuncture that helped me heal. The truths she taught really helped my heart and my mind come together to help my body heal. And she put my challenges into this perspective and stayed with me while my body healed. She really helped me look at happiness in a much more realistic way. This, my friends, is resilience. Resilience is officially defined as the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, having emotional and physical kind of flexibility and toughness. Though I don't look for hard things or wish them upon myself or upon you, I know we're going to face them. And I really appreciated the shift in perspective. It's a powerful shift. It's one I think we all need to make. And that's really the essence of this question that I opened our episode today with. Happiness or resilience? If you had to choose one, think about how powerful it is to have that confidence and that trust that we're going to be able to move through hard things. It's reset my happiness definition. And since then, I can honestly say I have been a much more joyful person since I gained this understanding. I've also taken this way of thinking into my work with women who are hurting or struggling or suffering, with the goal of doing what Anne did for me, holding them through the pain so they can rise with greater joy. This is also what I think we do as mothers. The older my children get, as they moved into more autonomy, as they got more independence, and I realized that it was probably a little bit of an illusion that I could control their world and make them happy. As I saw the reality that my children are going to have hard times and not always be happy, my goal as a mom has been to hold them through the pain so they can rise with greater joy. Think about the meaning of that. You're not alone, and I know this will not last forever. You're going to move. The infinity circle will not allow you to stay at one place all the time. It's going to move you. And as soon as, and this is what Anne used to tell me, as soon as you're at the top, enjoy it and let it go. Release it, because you need to experience the full range of emotions. You will be at the low curve of the infinity circle again. Release, experience, release, experience. How can we teach that to our kids, right? That is the power of being okay in the midst of a world that we absolutely cannot control. I think it's amazing what happens when we accept that there'll be challenges. We don't get surprised and we spend less time fighting the reality and get down to adapting. And I know this sounds like we have to just accept that we're not going to be happy all the time, but it's more than just shutting up and gritting our teeth through the hard times. It's about recognizing that life is supposed to have hard times. So like that there's not anything seriously wrong going on when your toy breaks. Like toys are going to break. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to feel let down. We're going to have times where our body gets sick. We can decide to focus on how we want to handle it rather than fighting against it. You know, as a mom, we want things to go smoothly. I used to meditate on things going smoothly. I used to pray about things going smoothly. But in reality, they rarely do. At least not how we imagine them to. We have children with their own little minds and struggles, or big minds and struggles, depending on their age. And we have traffic and deadlines. And then someone gets a cold and no one sleeps. Like, we could probably talk for a long time about all the challenges that come to us. But resilience involves getting a bigger perspective about life and trusting that these hard times are normal and that we really should expect them. And then looking to the things that matter to us the most to help us through the challenge. And we're going to spend more time talking about what matters the most to us, what matters most to you, because that is one of the core foundational pieces of becoming resilient. We call these things that matter to us our values, and they're really worth taking a look at because they hold the compass, the roadmap to finding our way to a life that is built around what matters to us, what's meaningful, what's purpose-driven. In other words, real happiness. So we're starting to redefine what happiness is now, right? Happy can be an emotion, but happiness, that kind of general state of happiness that moves through our life, through ups and downs, holds us, has much more to do with meaning and purpose than having our exact expectation met. So we're going to want to really start thinking about what matters to you, what your values are, and connect with them because that's what helps us cope with the storms of life, whether they're big, huge life events or little tiny, daily irritations and frustrations. Focusing on only being happy means we can get sidetracked from our whole life experience, that whole infinity circle of the ups and the downs, focusing only on feeling good and then kind of getting surprised or side swiped by the difficult times that we just aren't prepared for, that we're just not expecting. They can feel like they're wrong and we have to avoid them. And rather than deal with those painful feelings, we often reach for anything that'll help us numb out. So think for a minute about what helps people numb out or not feel their feelings. Maybe what helps you not feel your feelings. Food, alcohol, substance of other kinds, porn, working, cleaning, sleeping too much, spending money, social media scrolling, we could go on and on. And anything that takes you away from what you're feeling is something that is numbing you out. It's interesting, there's a researcher, Iris Moss, who's recently offered the idea that striving for happiness as our goal may actually cause us more harm than help us. In fact, she thinks in her research that the more people pursue happiness, that the more difficult it is for them to get it. She suggests that the more people set high standards for happiness, the more likely they're going to be disappointed when that standard isn't met. And this speaks a lot to our expectations. When we expect that we should be happy all the time, we then really notice the times that we're not happy. My research, which would be like my professional study and then my own painful life experience, has really taught me a big lesson about happiness and helped me tweak or change the definition. So here's my new definition. Happiness doesn't happen because of perfect circumstances and perfect feelings. Happiness comes from living a life of meaning, values, and purpose, and involves all the emotions, all in caps, that humans feel, including happiness, excitement, sadness, fear, and anger. That's a big ask. And I know I ask my clients to do this all the time, to open their mind to a broader definition of what it means to feel happiness. And often I'll substitute the word joy, because I think it helps sometimes to add another term that kind of is new, that helps us see that we're expanding this definition. I think happiness, like any emotion, has a time and a place, but it's important to experience all of our emotions in order to have a really deep, fulfilling life. And, you know, happiness isn't really well suited for every situation. Like, it's not reasonable that those little boys should have felt happy about their broken toy, or that I should have been happy when my beloved dog passed away. It's funny, her name was Bella, and I had a dream about her last night and got to pet her and play with her. And, you know, when I think about that, I feel happiness and joy, but I also feel sadness because I would love to have her here with me. I think we need to give ourselves room to feel disappointed and feel that sadness. I think I feel sad that I don't have that sweet dog with me anymore because of how deeply I loved her. I don't think I get to not feel sad sometimes. We care about stuff and it's going to affect how we feel. As we give ourselves room to feel all of our feelings, this is a key concept of resilience. When you think about it, resilience is the ability to work with your circumstances, whether that be a broken toy, a beloved pet that dies, a broken promise from someone you love, or a myriad of other challenging, you know, times that we face. Resilience is focused on having a choice about how you're going to respond. Your response is going to determine how hard you take things, how long it takes you to recover, and what you take away from your challenging experience. So let me say that again. You get to choose. Resilience helps us understand what we're thinking and feeling, and why we're feeling what we're feeling, and what we can do about it, why it matters to us, how we can go back to our values to help us cope with difficult situations, and give us an option, give us a choice to respond to the things that we're dealing with. And that's going to affect how hard that experience is on us, how long it takes us to recover. And we get to decide through our response what this thing means in our life. In other words, though we can't control things around us, we get to choose what it means. That truly is the core of what we're doing when we go to therapy, when we go for coaching, when we go and talk to our dear friend or family member to help us through a hard challenge. Help me put meaning to this. Help me figure out how I can get through it. And help me rise above the challenge and get to the other side. If life has happy moments, which we all love, then all the spaces between the happy times need to have a plan, like a bridge that helps us from falling into the depths of despair. And I know that's kind of dramatic, but think of evening out your life with happy times and resilient times. This is how happiness and resilience work together. Resilience training literally teaches you to pay attention to the things that will help you get through the hard things. There's a lot of research on resilience. It's just the coolest thing. I spent a whole year studying, getting a positive psychology advanced certification, where I spent just hours and hours with a cohort studying the principles of resilience. And you know, I think the biggest takeaway was that I really became convinced that this just isn't woo-woo stuff. And, you know, this is critical for me as a therapist who's trained in the medical model of looking for symptoms and diagnoses and what's wrong. And after decades of doing that, I always had this feeling that people can rise above, in positive psychology, we call it go north of neutral. Not only do we need to get people out of the deepest of pain and help them heal, but we want people to feel better, just better than average or better than, okay, I'm back to normal. And the study of positive psychology really delves deep into the principles of resilience. Solid science-backed research on how understanding our brains and our bodies work can be really powerful and healing in our life because it gives us more of that internal control. For instance, understanding that your brain has this negativity bias where it's wired to look for things that are wrong all the time. It's part of your evolutionary protection system. It's what helps us be safe, right? So at the back of your mind, whether you realize it or not, every time you walk into a room, your brain checks, is it safe? Is there, you know, what are my five senses telling me? Is there a fire somewhere? Do the people in the room look friendly? Is this an okay, you know, okay for me to be here? This is a bias that your brain has, meaning if it has to choose to look at something positive and wonderful first, or look for something that might be dangerous or something wrong first, it will be biased to look for the negative. A way to kind of illustrate this is if I were to give you a big reward, something that you really wanted, and told you that I'm going to give you this big reward if you'll go through the day and count how many times you see the color red, and then come back and report the number to me. If you were really motivated, you'd spend the whole day looking for red, noticing red cars, red lights, red stop signs, red hats, anything red. And then at the end of the day, you'd come back to report all of the red things you found. But what if you came back at the end of the day and I said, oh, thanks for doing that, but I've changed the rules. I want you to tell me right now to get your reward how many green things you counted. What? That's a terrible trick. You just went through the whole day counting red things, not noticing the green, though they were surely there. There are green traffic lights right next to the red lights, but you weren't counting the green. You barely noticed all the grass, all the bushes, all the trees. The green in the world kind of disappeared into the background because your focus was on the red. And that's what our brains do. Resilience training teaches us to be aware of what we're noticing and how to direct our focus on the things that will help us feel some of that deep and meaningful joy we just redefined and work with our negativity bias. You know, the truth is you're never going to be able to get rid of it, but just to add to it, to redirect it sometimes can make all the difference in how we feel. So an example of doing this in real life, so that I'm not telling you to go around counting colored things, is the positive psychology exercise, What Went Well. And I'm going to put this in the show notes, but let me just explain it to you and maybe you'll give it a try this week. What you want to be able to do with the What Went Well exercise is at the end of the day, commit to sit down before bed. You could do it in the evening or right before bed. I like to sometimes put a notebook by my bed and write three things that went well. What this does is it asks your brain to pay attention to something other than the negativity bias. This sounds simple, and for some of you, it will be very simple because you're already pretty aware of what's positive in your life. But I'll tell you, when that negativity bias starts to come up, it is not as easy as you think, especially if you're in a really tough situation. I mean, I think when I was dealing with that very painful condition and I was not feeling good and I was kind of panicky, like, is this my life? Am I always going to have this pain? It was really hard for me to find three things that went well. And so maybe the first day or so of doing it, I wasn't so great at it. But as you start to realize that every day you're going to be asking yourself, you have a commitment with yourself at the end of the day that you're going to review in your mind what you were watching for, you start looking for more positive things. And what it does is it pushes back against the negativity bias. And the research on this is pretty astounding, how it helps with our mood, how it helps with our feelings of hope. It increases hope. It increases motivation. It increases that feeling of connection. And it really, there's even some research around how having these kinds of thoughts activate hormones in our body that actually can be healing. So when we have an intention to broaden our perspective and notice things that feel good, it really helps us be part of what's going on instead of just being reactive to what's going on. So it's being intentional instead of reactive. And we're going to study more about resilience in our time together. In fact, I have a whole roadmap to take us through some of the most critical resilience skills. And I'm really excited to share those with you over our time together. So let's get back to the question of being happy or resilient. I don't know about you, but I want to have both. I know that that's kind of a trick. At the end of our time together today, it seemed like I was going to ask you to choose one or the other. But developing the skill of resilience means that you don't have to choose. It's going to actually increase your potential of feeling more of that newly defined happiness that we just talked about. It means you don't have to fear those gaps between happiness. You don't have to fear the way that you might feel if you make a mistake or get disappointed or if life hands you a broken toy. If you had to choose one or the other, I would choose resilience, hands down. Because to be happy, I think to be really happy, that deep happy, you really do need to learn how to help yourself around that infinity circle. Help yourself get up after a fall. Have the will to go on. Comfort yourself when you're hurting. Because I think resilience gives you the power to appreciate everything. And the happy is linked to things that matter. The things that bring you the deepest joy. And then, like my friend Anne taught me, resilience holds you when you're facing challenges until you rise back up. But like I said, you don't have to choose, thankfully. You get to have both. Hopefully I've sold you on the idea of how important and amazing resilience is. Over our time together, we're going to look at the specific resilience skills that can be learned and strengthened. Because remember, we don't come with these resilience skills. We come with a negativity bias. We come with a deep drive to avoid painful things. We come with a survival instinct that really focuses on the things that are wrong in our lives. And we want to be able to learn how to work with that survival part of our brain and our body and put together, like, we don't want to get rid of the things that protect us, right? But we want to be able to protect us in a much more holistic way. So for now, I'd like to invite you to take that What Went Well challenge. And you can find that in the show notes. And give it a try. Just play a little bit with your negativity bias. Anytime you're feeling, you know, the best way to know how you're cueing in, you're connected to that negativity bias, is to notice how you're feeling. When you're having some of those more unpleasant feelings, and I hate to label them that way, but when you've got that feeling of something being wrong, you know, that's the thought, and then the feeling is sadness or anger or fear, I want you to just take a look at how the negativity bias might be affecting you and practice what went well. Ideally, we're practicing what went well in every situation, but you don't need to start there. You could just start by finding three things that went well during the day, and you can find that instruction in the show notes. And if you want to know how to share these ideas with your kids, there's a What Went Well activity adapted for little ones to begin to help them understand the power of directing their focus. And this could be something that you do together as a family. It could be really fun. Sometimes we used to do it at the dinner table with our little ones, and you could do it You can make it a routine, make it something that your family does. And you'll find a little sheet on that in the show notes too, that can give you a guide of how to take these principles of resilience and start practicing them yourself, and then transferring that knowledge to your kids. Well, that's it for today. It's been so fun talking about happiness and resilience, and I wish you a wonderful, beautiful day. I hope that something catches your eye that you can put down on your What Went Well list this afternoon, and know that I'm cheering for you and wish you the greatest of happiness and resilience. Take care. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with others, or help others find me by leaving a rating or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Leadership Parenting Podcast. Remember, this podcast is not therapy. It is for general information purposes only. The information on this podcast is not intended to diagnose or treat any condition, illness, or disease. It's also not intended to be legal, medical, or therapeutic advice. Please consult your doctor or mental health professional for your individual circumstances. Thanks again, and take care.